Praise God. There's nothing like a good fiddle, is there? Hey, Joe, give me another water, please. Man, I'm dry-throated this morning. Got to go for another one. What's the other thing I was going to tell y'all? Something I'm sure was exciting and important, but right now, all I can think of is D, A, and G. Oh, prayer partners, thank you. After dinner on the grounds, we're going to have a prayer team. If you're interested in being on the prayer team, now listen, that doesn't just mean that people come to us. A lot of things doing. If you're a person has a heart for prayer, you have compassion for prayer. You need to be there, and I guess we'll be over in the Tracy. We're just going to go in the children's church room. Cool. So just get your plate and come in there. There you go. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Peace on earth and goodwill towards all men. So be a part of that. Oh, and the other thing I was going to tell you is I've had a few people ask me. They sent me emails wanting to know how you transfer your letter from a church to Living Waters Church, if you're joining Living Waters Church. And so I need to say that again. Is you know, unless you got an F at the other church that I need to know about, you know, I'm not real interested in your letter, you know. If you want to be a part of our fellowship here at Living Waters Church, simply, you just need to come tell me. Thank you, son. You just need to come tell me that, you know, that this is your home church, and this is where you're going to belong, and this is where your heart is. If you've really never done that, and you're expecting me to bury you someday, then I would highly suggest that you probably are a member of this church, and you might not have come tell me, okay? But, you know, I mean, that's usually what it boils down to. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just saying it's kind of what it boils down to. So anyway, all I need to know that we don't have any file cabinet full of letters. You get on the email address. If I know that you're here, I want to meet you and talk to you and visit with you so I get to know you so I can pray for you. Get you on our mailing list and update our prayer list so we know who you are and that kind of thing, okay? But other than that, I'm not looking. Like, if you did get an F at the last church, I would like to know. Praise God. All right, well, y'all, open up your Bibles. I didn't say that right. Let me change that again, because I'm trying to figure out where I'm going in here. Get your Bibles out this morning. And go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. I have conflict in my soul this morning. I have two different messages, but I'm trying to follow the Holy Ghost. And they're from two different ends of the spectrum. So anyway, this is where we're going to start out. In the middle of this message, I just may change and go to the other one. No, I don't want to go there. Start out in Luke chapter 20, verse 37. Luke chapter 20. Now I know I got it. Luke chapter 20, verse 37. I've been talking about prayer, been trying to teach y'all about prayer. I see there's prayer books out in the front, and there's prayer books back there in the back. If you don't have a book on that I just wrote on prayer, get one. They're free. Get more if you want more. Tell us you want more. There's books around. There's cases of them. I have 1,500 books. I'll give them all away because I want people to understand about prayer. And I want to review for just a second about this because I want you to understand my heart of this message and the heart of writing the book. It's simply that I just believe people pray, Christian people, pray a lot of ineffective prayer. I want us to be effective in our prayer life. I believe, you know, like when I was in football, in high school, playing football, I mean, there's so many times I prayed during a football game, but I wasn't even saved. I was praying either, Lord, don't let me get killed by that guy across from me, you know, or, oh God, just be with me today and let this be a great game or something. You know what I'm saying? But I would turn to prayer because I was raised as a Christian young man and was taught about Christianity. But, you know, truly in my heart, I really wasn't really, Jesus was not my Lord and Savior. You know, I mean, it was all, you know. I think a lot of us have been there in life. Just raised up in church and you just did what was right, but it wasn't a heart of compassion. It wasn't a really knowing Jesus and who he was and everything. And then as we grow up, if you never learn about prayer, if you never learn about what God truly intends and how he intends for you to walk as a Christian on this earth, what happens is then you just continue on in life just praying prayers, and most of them are like a grocery list prayer that you pray that you're just asking God to do something for you, and you don't have it based upon anything other than what you need. And God did say, ask for our daily needs, but you're just kind of hoping and a praying God's going to do something. He'll have mercy on you. He'll show you some grace. It'll just happen. But the Bible says that that's not ever the way what Christians are supposed to walk. We were supposed to walk in dominion that God gave us, that Jesus bought for us on the cross. We were supposed to walk in the dominion and the authority and power that his blood paid the price for. That you, as a born-again believer, if you've confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you're a born-again believer, then you have rights and authorities and privileges in the kingdom of God to establish over your life. And if you never walk in it, it's just like, you know, I mean, if you had a police department that never enforced the law and the thieves just came in and out and stole all the shells and the guns they had in the police department and nobody stopped them. Well, so what? You got a police department. It's ineffective. Hello? A policeman's effective when he can take the authority that's been given to him and delegated to him and then exercise that authority. And we have to exercise that authority. Hello? You as a Christian have to exercise your authority, and we exercise our authority in life through prayer. Now, you can go back and you can listen to this series. I've been preaching since January, and you can go catch up on all this. And if I struck a chord in you right there that you didn't know, the message is on the website somewhere. Go find it. So I want to venture into something today along these lines about continuing on prayer. But here in Luke chapter 20, verse 37, Jesus is... The Pharisees and the Sadducees are trying to catch Jesus in a dispute of if a man had seven wives and who's going to get her in heaven and all this kind of stuff, and they're trying to catch Jesus in some sort of a legalistic trap. And Jesus just says to them, you know, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he just says, boys, you don't even know what you're talking about. Verse 37, he says, but even Moses showed us in the burning bush passage that the dead are raised. When he called the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, for he's not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him. Folks, listen to me. Jesus is alive. I want to say it again. Jesus is alive. It's real. In Christ, there's no death. God is not, heaven is not full of dead people. Heaven is full of living people. Are you with me? He's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. He's your God. He's alive to you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to be with you. He wants to answer your prayers. He wants to help you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to teach you. He wants to give you wisdom. He wants to be there with you through everything in life. He's alive. He's not dead. Are y'all with me? When you pray and you begin to speak God's word over your life, I mean... I see it like this because I have to, you know, sometimes use my imagination, because there is a difference between us seeing in the physical world or seeing in the spiritual world. But it's still the same. It's still real. Jesus came and he appeared to his disciples, walked on the face of the earth for 40 days. But he walked through walls. But he ate fish. Something was different. I mean, if I ask you right now, I want just a volunteer to get up here in the front and run and see if you can run through that wall. I'm not going to get too many volunteers on that one. You know, Jesus, he walked through it. They were just all there in the deal. The door's locked, and all of a sudden he just appeared, and everybody went, ah! Don't do that to us. Use the door next time, Lord. It scares us. But yet he turned to Thomas and he said, here, touch my side. So he was physical. He said, well, I don't know. I just can't believe it. Do. It's true. He's alive. He's real. He is Israel. It's not a figment of your imagination. It's not, you know, some hyped up whatever. Jesus is real. He's right here in this room with us right now as we speak. I can guarantee that because his word says where two of us gather together in his name, he's there in the midst. So Jesus himself, I mean, he's right here. My prayer always when I preach every Sunday and every morning when I get up, I said, you know, when Stephen was stoned to death, he said he looked up and he saw the Lord standing at the right hand of the throne of God. It's the only place I could find in the Bible where it says that he saw him standing. Usually he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And I always prayed, Lord, let me live a life that causes you to have to stand up and cheer me. Yeah, come on. But he's in the room right here with me right now. See, prayer is not just some religious thing. Prayer is not just some, something that we do to try to release the anxiety of our heart because, you know, it gives us comfort to know that we've prayed. No. Prayer is to be effective. Prayer is to work. Prayer is to go out and see things change. Jesus said, speak to the mountains and the mountains will move. Are y'all with me? It's not crazy for you farmers and ranchers to speak over your livestock and command them to produce seed. It's not crazy at all. It's biblical. So what do you mean it's biblical? Well, Isaac prayed in the middle of a famine, sowed seed, and produced the biggest harvest it ever produced. What I'm trying to tell you is if you find it in the Bible of what the promise is in the Bible, what God did for somebody else, God will do that for you if you have faith in what he said there. And if you take his word, then it's, hey, Daddy, things look bad around here, man. I'm telling you, man, it's not raining. It's a drought, but you did it for Isaac. And if you did it for Isaac, you'll do it for me. So I'm going to have to plant by faith. That's a biblical concept. That's not craziness. That's not craziness. The Bible says the man that looks to the wind will never sow. So likewise, if you're just going to, you know, like you and your wife been fighting and arguing and you just feel like you ought to forgive her, but you just hadn't done it. You ought to make amends. You ought to say something, but you just hadn't got the feeling yet. You know what? You ain't ever going to do it. My wife and I disagree very little, but if I do disagree with her and we get huffy and the house turns into the ice castle with stalactites hanging down, I quickly know. First, I was a little dull, you know, and I thought, something doesn't seem right. But now I'm quick to know. I'm quick after 33 years of marriage to know that something's gone wrong, and if there's something wrong, I've probably done it. And I can know that, and I can think about it, and I can say, well, I ought to do something. But if I don't do something, ain't nothing going to change. I have to do something. And I don't know about you, but I want to live my life in such a way that it's effective. I feel that it's effective. I see that things are happening. Lives are changing. People are getting blessed. My family's getting blessed. They're growing. They're nurturing. They're whatever. I'm glad I have radical children. My kids are crazy. My daughter called me the other day and said, you'll never guess what I did. I said, probably not. And she said, in the town we live in, there's another denomination that likes to stand out on the street corner on Saturdays with signs, you know, like, you know, hell is coming and you're not right and you're going to burn, sizzle like a sausage, you know, and, you know, the harsh side of the gospel. And they're out there with signs telling people when they drive by screaming at them, you need to repent, sinners, you know. And so my daughter had seen this happen and she drove by and just said, that just something inside of me just boiled up and said, I ain't going to put up with that. So she parked the car, went back, told them all, said, you know, why don't you change your signs and put something about the love of God on there? Just jumped all over this whole group of people, you know? I said, way to go, radical child. You know, get out there and tell them. But you know what I'm saying is I want to live a life that touches other people, and my children will touch other people and radical, but I know that it's not just going to happen. You have to do something about it. Y'all with me? It's not just going to fall in and happen. I mean, sometimes, you know, you get lucky and something will happen, but 99.9% of the time, you're going to have to make it happen. And if you want to see victory in your life, you're going to get hold of the Word of God. You're going to get hold of the promises of the Word of God. You're going to realize that Jesus really is alive and He's right there to help you. And He's just waiting for you to start praying and start speaking God's Word over your life and speaking God's Word over your children. Because His Word never returns back void. It always accomplishes everything it's sent out to do. So if your Word becomes His Word, it gets done. He's alive. Now go, if you would, to 1 John 5:14. I may be saying the same thing over and over again in a different way, but folks, I just really believe with all of my heart this is what we need. We need to get this down. 1 John 5:14, now that's one of the scriptures you need to memorize. You need to get on your refrigerator. You need to get it around your house. It says, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, everybody say anything. Anything. What does anything mean? Anything's anything, right? It says, if we ask anything according to His will. How do you know the will of God? Would not God's word be the same as His will? Would somebody run over there and grab me one of the praying the word? Wait a minute, I got one right here. No, I don't. Would somebody bring me the praying the word book? Please. If God's word is His will. Thank you, George. Okay, if God's word is His will. In the back of this praying the word book, I have 257 promises that I found in the New Testament. That means 250 words about what is God's will for that situation. Right? If you don't know what His will is, you can't walk in His will. If something arises in your life and you don't know exactly what the will of God is, for instance, let's just take a biggie. If sickness comes upon your body and your first thought is, I wonder if this is God's will or not, then you know what you have to do? Find out what God's will is about sickness. Acts 10:38 says, Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. Well, if all that was sick and oppressed were of the devil, then I guess sickness and oppression comes from the devil. It's not from God. If He wants His will to be done in heaven as it is on earth, then I guess God really doesn't want everybody sick. He wants everybody well. Because there's not sick people in heaven. No hospitals in heaven. You say, well, I just don't know if I can believe that. Well, how can I be easy and sweet and nice and say this? Guess I can't. Then you're wrong. You have misinformation in your faith bank. Just look at the person beside you and say, man, I just love Pastor. He always tells me the truth. It's like, ladies, if you're baking a cake and the cake always turns out terrible, why would you keep putting the same ingredients in it and doing it the same thing over and over again and producing the same terrible cake? I mean, if you went and said, well, I can't make a cake. Every time I make a cake, it's just terrible. And you say, well, what are you doing? Well, oh, you're using baking soda instead of baking powder. No, you need to change that. Well, I don't want to. I thought my recipe says baking powder, baking soda. I'm going to put baking soda in it because that's what my recipe says. Well, your recipe's wrong. I mean, you see, we look at things like that and say, well, that's just ignorant. But then we look at our lives with the will of God and the Word of God, and we let, you know, every Joe Blow on the street, every jack-legged preacher tell us what the Bible says instead of us finding out for ourselves. Right? I mean, I'm preaching really good. I mean, what I did in my life is I looked at my life and I looked at areas in life that I read in the Bible and I thought, well, I remember reading the Bible for the very first time. And when I got to the book of Acts, I was blown away. I thought from how I was raised that like when Jesus died, all miracles ceased. And I began to read the books. I said, wait a minute. What do you mean that Peter's shadow passed by and people were healed? Well, nobody told me that. You know, I'd never seen this. And I was like, wait. I've been taught wrong. And I had to go through and read and look and see what does it say. Had to figure it out. So I started taking topics, okay? Healing, finances, family. You know, I started categorizing these areas of my life that I really wanted to know about. And then I started finding God's word for those areas. And then I put in those areas the scriptures. And then I began to read the scriptures. And I'd say, man, I just don't see how that can be. I don't know if I believe that, Lord. And you know the answer to that. The Bible says, when you hear the word and you hear the word and you hear the word, that then finally you'll believe the word. And so I listened to tapes, I read books, I studied it out till I could figure out and be settled within my heart that God's a healer. And I'd say, okay, glory to God. That one's settled. Now let's go to the next one. Finances. Are y'all with me here? This is the only way I can tell you to do it. There's no, I wish I could just, you know, throw the holy water on your, you know, lay hands on you, throw the pixie dust out and you know, you just, whoa, I got it, you know. It'd be so simple. I mean, I would be the hottest preacher in the world. People would be lining up outside just to come by because I made it easy for them. Here, take a little of this, you know. People would come from ever. Say, put $100 on the plate. Okay, here you go. Here, $100. Ooh, you're a $200 one. Yeah, put the $100 on. And they'd pay it. But that's not the way it works. Jesus said, I want to have a relationship with you. I want to know you. I want to talk to you. I want to tell you things. Man, I'm telling you what, yesterday morning, which was the other message I was thinking about preaching this morning, I was sitting up, you know, it was about 5:30 in the morning. I was just reading my Bible, drinking a cup of coffee. And, man, I'm telling you what, God gave me a revelation, changed my whole perspective on a certain issue in life. Changed my whole perspective because I saw it in the Word. I was like, what? Changed my whole outlook, my whole perspective in one whole area of my life in a second, a flash. But what I'm saying is that was my revelation. But you could hear me preach and say, yeah, that's a good message. Yeah. And then go home and then just go on about your normal day of worry and anxiety or whatever. And don't even think about it. Don't let it change you. And you know what? You ain't get nothing. It's about putting ourselves. Do you realize that you can put yourself in a position to receive from God? You know how you do that? You shut up. Quit trying to tell him how it should be. Set your foolish pride down and say, God, I'm an idiot. Help me.
So, well, you know, I've studied the Bible. I've read the Bible. I pretty much know what's going on here.
and you're a mess and everything else around you is a mess, well, you need some re-education there. So you better get down on your face and say, God, I'm not going to make it. Everything that I approach in life, I don't care what it is, I just look at it and say, oh, God, I can't do that. There's no way. If you don't help me, I ain't going to be able to get it done. Because pride within our own heart will keep us from receiving God's will or God's word in our life because we want to argue with God that it's got to be this way. And unless it's this way, then we just have a hard time believing it. And then know what we do? We compromise. We live without God in that area of our life so that we can live in that area of our life the way we want to. It's called pride. It's the biggest hindrance for getting God's word in our life and walking in victory is pride. You know, it's funny, even just a while ago, Bill and I were tuning up our guitars, and we knew it didn't sound exactly right. I said, ah, it'll be okay, nobody will catch it. Tim over there, he's got an ear, and he said, no, I think it's, you know, this string, it's not right, and, you know, we thump a little bit, and he said, no, you're a little sharp, you know, he could hear it, I couldn't hear it. You know what I'm saying? He could hear it. There's something within his makeup that he could hear that. But I couldn't hear it. It's not in me to hear it. Now, I could pray all day long to have that ear, but if it's not in me, I'm probably not going to get it. If you're not born with it, I'm going to get it. You know what? So, I'm smart enough to know, find the guy that can play better and put him out front. Like Bill always said, I don't know if I can play today. I said, you got to play today. You got to cover me up. I don't have any pride in that area. Somebody walking to me and say, I'm a better musician than you are. I said, glory to God. Get up there and get the guitar and play. I don't have to. I mean, there's not a pride thing. You see what I'm saying? Because I'm smart enough to say, he's got a better ear than I do. Well, I'm going to stand there and argue with him. Get the machine down. I think I can, it says right here on the machine. No, if his ear says it, I believe it. My wife does it to me all the time. She's got an ear like that too. She can hear it. It's not right. And I'm just like, nah, nobody will catch it. Not that many people in the world that got that good of an ear anyway. Just play. She always says to me, but I can hear it. And I said, well, get over it. Nobody else can. But if you're full of pride, you know what? Pride will keep you from receiving the blessings of God. Because what you're going to say is, no, God, I've got to have it done my way. And so pride begins to hinder your prayer. Because you can pray all day long. But you're probably praying something like, God, make me the great musician. And he's like, that's not what I called you to do. I really would rather my wife's roles and my role be flipped. I'd like to sit down at the piano and just could play it like that. I can play the piano. Can I play the piano? I can play the piano. Why would I play the piano? Don't mess with me, Frankie. But when I play the piano and then I hear my wife play the piano, I don't want to play the piano. You with me? Because it's a different, but I can't pray. Oh God, let me play like my wife. Because I mean, I'm not set up for it. At least a lightning bolt from heaven hit me and changed something in me. It isn't there. When you get into those places in our life, when the word is the same thing, if you're not walking in prosperity and healing and victory in your family and whatever, you've got to set pride down and say, God, am I doing something wrong? Are y'all with me? Because it's your responsibility as a parent to raise your children a certain way. It's your responsibility as a parent to speak the word of God over your life. I used to take Joseph with me in to bed when he was, I don't know how old he was, 5, 6, something like that. And I would be studying at night, and I'd say, come on in here and get in there. And I would read the Bible. He'd get bored pretty quick, but I would read the Bible to him. I taught him when he was 13, 14, 15, start making a Rhema notebook, start finding the scriptures. This is what I'm teaching you. I taught him when he was 13. I said, now get your notebook out and write these scriptures down. Right? You read your Bible, and when a scripture comes up, that something that jumps out to you, you see, you write it down. And then you take that scripture and you memorize that scripture and you write it down. And then you confess that scripture over your life, because that's a scripture that you need in your life. Every scripture in this book I got. In other words, I didn't just go through there and just find scriptures. I mean, when I have a section in this book, like on page 13 about praying for your heart, when I got this, I saw it like Psalms 34:18, the Lord is near those who have a broken heart and saved such as have a contrite spirit. I got that scripture when we lost the ranch and my heart was broken. And I said, Lord, you said that you're near those who have a broken heart. I got a broken heart, so Lord, you're near me. And so I'd turn my prayer into that and I'd say, Lord, I just thank you that you're going to heal my broken heart, because you said that you're near those that have a broken heart. And God, whatever you're near gets healed. So Lord, take my broken heart and heal me. That's how I got the scripture. I didn't get the scripture because one day I was just reading it. So I said, oh, isn't that a nice scripture? Let's put it in the book. I lived it. James 4:10, I came across one day. It says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Humble yourself. And I said, you know, Lord, there's pride in my life. I got to get pride out. So help me deliver myself from pride so I can walk with you. Because you said, Lord, you said that I'm supposed to humble myself in the sight of the Lord. And then you would lift me up. So that's the path I want to go. So Father, take my heart and mend my broken heart, but get pride out of my life. See, this is what I'm talking about. I knew that I was praying the perfect will of God. Because that's what his word says. Psalms 24:34. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us when we talked with us on the road? And while he opened the scriptures, and I'd pray, God, that's what you said. You opened the scriptures. So whenever I'd open up my Bible, I'd say, Father, I just thank you right now that you opened the scriptures to me, because my heart's burning to know what your word says. I want to see it. I want to have a revelation from heaven. I didn't read my Bible to just chalk up chapters. I read my Bible to learn and have a revelation from heaven. It's a relationship, church. It's a lifestyle. I found a few of those scriptures that I came across that Psalms 2 that says, Lord, bust my enemies in the mouth. And I kind of tweaked the scripture, but I'd pray that once in a while, you know, kind of get off a little bit. I said, Lord, it says right here, bust my enemies in the mouth. David said that. He was a man after your own heart. I got a few enemies. Lord. And that one never did work, but it made me feel good. Are y'all following me here? See, there's no way I can just preach this one message to you, anoint you with oil, lay hands on you, and then you're just like walk out as angelic angels and have full knowledge of everything. What I'm telling you is a lifestyle. I'm trying to teach you a lifestyle through this whole thing. But the killer of it's pride. Because pride will say, well, I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, I mean, we're getting along okay. And it'll steal from you. It'll steal from you. I want to look at Luke 18. And I'll finish up here. Pride is an amazing thing. It's funny what pride will do. It's kind of funny in life how we humans tend to find out our limits. And then when we know what our limits are, you know, our limitations, then we back off just enough so that we can do what we do really well, and then we get prideful in that. And there's people that are Some people that are very, very talented just naturally, and a lot of easy things come to them, and you know, they just can go do anything. And then there's other people who we have to struggle through life to get anything done, and we're just proud that we can spit a watermelon seed, you know, so far. When somebody else is, you know, making a hole in one in golf. But by God, we're the best watermelon seed spitter you've ever seen. I mean, a person, I've actually learned this in life, and it's kind of strange, that a lot of times people who are really in abject poverty are really very prideful people. Because what's happened is they've lost everything, but what they do have, they got hold of, and they'll stand strong that this is the best way to do it. And actually, the pride in their life keeps them from prospering. So pride doesn't necessarily mean you accomplish everything, or that you can look at it and say, oh, look at that guy. I bet he's full of pride. Look how successful he is. He may be an humble man and just got it working with God. And there could be a person over here living in a cardboard box, but if you went over there and talked to them, there's probably something in their life that they're, you know, yeah, I live like this because I choose to live like this. And this is the way I want to live. Full of pride. Pride can be anywhere. You don't have to accomplish something great to be prideful. You could accomplish nothing and be full of pride. Right? So it says here in Luke 18:1, Jesus spoke the parable to them and said, men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Well, we ought always to pray and not lose heart. What happens to us so many times is we pray and we don't see an instant result to our prayer. And then what happens is we lose heart. We give up. We don't have any faith in it. Instead of saying, you know, I've been praying this prayer for 36 years and ain't nothing happened. Maybe I ought to readjust the way I'm praying. Y'all with me? It's like, you know, y'all know that I'm a big gun enthusiast, and it's like having a scope on a rifle, and it always shoots, you know, like 8 inches high and to the right. And so you just adjust to whatever you're aiming at to try to hit, rather than adjusting the scope. Y'all with me? And sometimes you miss because you don't calculate it right when you're just looking and say, well, I know it shoots 8 inches high and to the right, and I got to aim to the left and low to hit that thing. Well, why don't you just adjust the scope? Let's just bring things into where it hits right. Why are you guessing at things in life? Let's just take the time to adjust it. I had a friend of mine that he did some work for me, and I traded him a scope for the work. And so he said, I can mount it, I can take care of it. So I said, okay. It was a brand new scope. And a few days later, he called me and said, man, you know, something's not right with this scope. And I said, well, it's a good scope. I know it's right. It's brand new. And it's a good quality scope. And he says, yeah, something's not right with it. He said, you look at this thing. He said, I've been adjusting on this thing. And he says, no matter what I do, he said, I adjust on it. And I think I'm right. And you know, I'm up high, and then I adjust it down, and then, you know, man, next thing you know, it's flying off over here on the side, and then over on the, I said, well, that should not be. And so I said, well, just bring me the gun, let me look at it. So he brought me the gun, and I pulled it out, and I looked at it. As soon as I saw it, as soon as my eyes fell on it, I knew what was wrong. He had mounted the scope backwards. Because there's two knobs, and instead of it being the way it should have been like this, it was like this. And so I just looked at it and I said, yeah. I said, that won't work. He said, yeah, I know there's something wrong with this scope. I said, yeah, it is. But the reason why there's something wrong with it is the person who mounted it on here did not mount it right. He's like, and then as soon as I said that, then his eyes fell upon it, and it was just like it was open. He said, I got that thing over there backwards, don't I? I said, yep. And he was so embarrassed. But, you know, he had looked and tried everything in the world but did not see it until I spoke to him and said, gave him a little information, and then all of a sudden, boom, he saw it. That's what has to happen to you. You have to be the person where I'm saying something to you about your life, but you have to have the revelation of the Holy Ghost pop open your eyes, and you're able to look at the Word and say, whoa, This isn't quite right. Ah, I just need to loosen the screws, turn it a half turn. Hey, now it's working. Are y'all with me? It says that you ought always to pray and not lose heart. Don't lose heart. If it's not working, just figure out what's wrong. Let pride go away. Figure out what's wrong. Adjust. It says, there's a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because of the widow troubles me, I will avenge her, at least by her continual coming, she weary me. Okay, now stop right there. A lot of people have taken that scripture and pulled it out of text and said, you know, so that means we're really, you know, we really have to kind of go to God and irritate God enough to finally give us the answer. That's what that scripture says. Jesus was telling the parable, right? Let's go back what he said up at the first. There was a certain city, a judge. And what is this judge? He did not fear God nor regard man, right? The judge is not a representative here of God the Father. He's a representative of what's coming against you in life. And how did the woman win? She wore him out, throwing the word at him. She won and got what she wanted because she continually spoke the word and 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 spoke the word till she believed it. And he finally said, I got to get rid of this woman. I believe that's a representation of the devil. That finally, eventually, he's going to say, my God, every time I go to the house, I just get beat to pieces with the word. You got to understand something. There's nothing in my life that I do not tackle with the word of God, without the word of God. If something rises up, I don't care if it's a barking dog, I am going to address it with the word of God until I can finally figure out how to get the dog to shut up. You say, well, that's crazy. I know. I've thought about it. Just shoot the dog. But that's always not applicable. You follow me? You got to pray about it till you can figure it out, till God reveals it to you to what to do. I've prayed about difficult situations and I had no idea what to do. And I just prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed until all of a sudden one day, boom, word popped into me and said, oh, that's how to do it. And when I applied that, boom, saw success. And I'll tell y'all this. One of the hardest things to ever get over is forgiveness. Someone's wronged you, okay? It's hard to forgive the person because you don't want to forgive them because every molecule in your body says justice. But I heard a man say the other day, and I really took it to heart, and I've just been chewing on it like an old cow on a piece of cud, said, walking in unforgiveness is like you drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. When they said that, I thought, that's a good one. That's a good one. I'm going to remember that one. It's like me drinking poison hoping they die because the unforgiveness is killing me, not doing anything to them. Now, you see that God got me thinking on a path. He got me walking down a path. Got me. You see, this is all a part of God's plan to work out everything in my life. That's how it works. Church, there's no other way. So now I'm thinking about those issues in life and saying, okay, well, wait a minute. I don't want to drink poison. Oh, I've read a million books on forgiveness. I've read a million books and quoted a million scriptures. I mean, I have prayed. God, your word says to pray for those that spitefully use you. So, Father, just keep burning coals upon their head and beat my enemies in the face, Lord. And I mean, not an ounce of love and mercy in any of it. And I know it doesn't work. And I just do it just to feel better. And that doesn't work. You follow what I'm saying, church? You've got to find the answers. And the answers are right here in His Word. And the widow just kept praying and kept praying and kept speaking and kept speaking until finally something moved. Right? Jesus goes on here and says, Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, for God shall God not avenge His own elect who cry out day and night to Him, though He bears long with them? The bearing long with them is when we don't have it right. I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Then look at this last verse. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on earth? When God comes, will He really find faith on earth? Church, what God's looking for is faith. Do you have any faith in Him? Are you taking His Word, trusting in His Word, believing in His Word? You know? Are you, when Jesus comes back to your house and knocks on your door and says, come on, it's time to go to heaven, is He going to find you full of faith? Isn't that interesting? That's what He's looking for. Not how many miracles you performed, not how many scriptures you can quote, not how many times you read the Bible, not how many people you forgave, not how many souls you got saved. He's going to see if you have any faith in Him. So then my point is, folks, let's have some faith. Let's get a hold of the Word. Have some faith. So when Jesus comes in, He says, man, I got to take you to heaven with me. You're so full of faith. This is glorious. Amen? Amen. Well, put your Bibles up. Now, if you would, can I have my prayer team just come down here this morning? And if you will, just stand to your feet. Look at the person beside you and say, I don't want any pride. Church, pride will lead you down the road you do not want to be at. And so here this morning, I just want to pray for you. Let's just take a little moment, take a little time here before we close. We've got dinner on the ground, so you don't have very far to go. And let's just stop and let's just search our hearts for a moment. Let me pray for you. Father, we're all standing right here. And our hearts are open before You. We may think we're hiding something, but Lord, You know it. You always know it. And so, Lord, we just ask You this morning that the areas of our life where we're walking in pride, where pride's keeping us from having victory. Let's ask You to show us, Lord. Show us where we made the mistakes and show us what we need to do to correct it. Let Your Word become alive to us and jump off the pages of the Scripture. Lord, let it just change us so we can know Your will and walk in Your will. And so, Lord, I just thank You today. And Holy Spirit, You just descend upon us and You just rest on us and reveal to us everything that we have need of. Now, Lord, I just ask You today, You just continue with us, to just continue to bless us, continue to show us, and that, Lord God, today that You would just do mighty things through us. So we can be full of faith when You come. Now, Lord, bless the food. Bless our fellowship. Lord, and just give us new friends today, Lord. And we thank You for it. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, church, if you're here and you want more prayer, you need prayer, come down front. We're here for you. We'll pray for you. We'll bless you. But other than that, dinner on the grounds is served. Enjoy yourself. Find somebody to fellowship with and be blessed.